All right, if you have your Bibles this morning, let's turn together to the book of James once again. Book of James in chapter 3. Some years ago, I was visiting my brother-in-law up in Thailand. At that time, they were living down in the southern part of Thailand, a little place called Trung, which was south of Hat Yai. And so anyway, we had gone there. We were visiting with them. And so he and I had gone up to look at some things, and we were driving down one of those little country roads there in Thailand, not very wide, you know, and plus you got people and cows and motorcycles and everything else on the sides of the road and all of that. I remember as we were driving along, we kind of got a little bit out of the town, and we were coming and we were going on around a curve, and there was kind of a mountain there, and as we were going around a curve, all of a sudden there's this huge bus. He's going way too fast for that little road that we're on. And to make it even worse, he's in our lane. And we're looking at him right eyeball to eyeball, okay? And fortunately, we were able to get to the shoulder of the road just in time, and he, you know, went by, and we didn't run over anybody and all that. And plus, we got caught up on our prayer life, just like that. Boy, I mean, you know, it didn't take long when you see a bus coming, you know, it's none of this. Now, our Father who art in... No, it's Lord, save me, you know. And so anyway, we got caught up on our prayer life and all of that. But to say the least, we were both just a wee bit shaken up by that. Now, the reason why I mentioned that this morning is because I want to illustrate a point. Buses are a wonderful thing. They're very convenient until they get out of control. And then they can become deadly. They can become deadly. The very same thing is true. That little thing right there. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Same thing is true with our tongue. It's a good little thing, handy tool. But when it gets out of control, it can become very deadly. Last time, you remember, we saw that the way we control our tongue, the way we control our tongue is by yielding it to the Holy Spirit of God. And of course, the Lord Jesus is our great example for that. Let me just show you one verse over in the book of 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 22 and verse 23, talking about the Lord Jesus. The Apostle Peter said, He did no sin, neither was guile found in His mouth. In other words, he did not speak in a way that was hurtful. He did not speak in a way that was mean-spirited. And even when he was reviled, the Bible says, when he was reviled, yet he reviled not again. He did not respond in the way that would be naturally thought of as proper. He did not do that. Rather notice it that when he suffered, he threatened not, but he committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. And so the Lord Jesus is a great example of one who controlled his tongue, and even when he was reviled, and even when he suffered, and even when he was threatened, yet he was always under the control of the Holy Spirit of God. He never let his tongue get out of control. Never let his tongue get out of control. Then we saw that the man who's able to yield his tongue to the control of the Holy Spirit, that man will have no problem yielding the rest of his body to the Holy Spirit's control. He won't have any problem doing that. But now we come to a very important question, and the question is simply this: why is this so important? Why is this so important? Well, in our text, James is going to answer that question. And he's going to answer it by showing us the danger of a tongue that is out of control, a tongue that is not yielded to the Holy Spirit of God, a tongue that is capable of doing great damage. In our text today, James is going to show us two illustrations from the world of nature to show to us just how destructive and how deadly our tongue can be if it is not controlled. by the Holy Spirit of God. So it's these two things that I want us to notice together. I want you to notice, first of all, here in our text, that James says that our tongue is like fire. The tongue is like fire. The wise man, back in the book of Proverbs, in Proverbs chapter 26, verse 20 to verse number 21, he said this. He said, "Where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no tale-bearer, the strife ceaseth." You see the parallel there? Wood, fire, tale-bearer, strife. It's likened to a fire. The tongue is likened to a fire. In fact, he goes on to say, as coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. In other words, the point Solomon is making here is simply this, that the tongue of the contentious man will cause the fires to spread even more. Instead of putting out fires, it spreads fires. That's the tongue of a contentious man. And so that's why James tells us here in James chapter 3, verse 6, that our tongue is a fire. Our tongue is a fire. On October the 8th, in 1871, in the city of Chicago, a fellow by the name of Patrick O'Leary had a cow that he kept in his barn. And sometime about 8 o'clock in the evening, that cow kicked over a lantern that was burning. Now that doesn't sound like a big deal until you consider the consequences of it. That cow kicking over that lantern started what in history is called the Great Chicago Fire. From that little lantern came this. Some 17,500 buildings were destroyed. From the cow kicking over that lantern, 100,000 people were left homeless. From that cow kicking over the lantern and starting the fire, some 300 people were actually killed in the fire. And the cost to the city of Chicago was estimated at over $400 million. That's back in the 1800s. That's when $1 million was really a lot of money. And all of that started because one cow kicked over a lantern and started a little fire. That's what became of it. That's what became of it. And a tongue that is out of control can cause just as much, if not more, damage. Can cause just as much, if not more. Notice a couple of things that James is going to teach us about a tongue that is out of control. A tongue that's out of control, first of all, he's going to talk to us about the wickedness of it. The wickedness of it. A tongue, James chapter 3, verse 6, the tongue is a fire. Notice it. It is a world of iniquity. It is a world of iniquity. That little phrase there that our tongue is a world of iniquity. What James is doing here is he is emphasizing for us. He's emphasizing the great amount of evil that an uncontrolled tongue can generate. It is a world of iniquity. A world of iniquity. Bottom line, when the Holy Spirit does not control our tongue, it has within its ability to do every evil thing that can be found in a wicked and sinful world. The ability, it's right there. It's right there in our mouth. The tongue. I like the way John Gill said it. John Gill in his commentary said this. He said, "It cannot be said how much sin is in it." Talking about the tongue. "It cannot be well said how much sin is in it and done or occasioned by it." The tongue. It's a world of iniquity. It's a world of iniquity. Not only does James share with us the wickedness of the tongue, he then goes even further and notice he also now talks about the filth of the tongue. The filth of the tongue. Now, we all know that when a fire burns, When a fire burns, everything is touched to some extent. Even when the house burns, and then they go in, the insurance adjusters will go in to see about the damage and all of that. They will understand, and they will tell you that a lot of the damage that is in a fire like that, it's not necessarily by the fire. There's also considered what they call smoke damage. There's the damage that comes from the firemen who come in and spray water all over everything. There's all kinds of things that are involved in that. And so when a fire burns to some extent, everything around it is going to be touched. Everything around it is going to be affected in one way or another. And so James now, he builds on that. Notice what he says in verse 6. He says, "So is the tongue among our members that it defileth." It's like a fire, right? And that's what it is in our members. Now notice it. It defileth the whole body. The whole body is affected by it. Let me illustrate it this way. I think you'll get the idea. Have you ever faced a temptation to do something that is wrong? And you know it's wrong, okay? You're tempted to do something that's wrong, and you know that it's wrong what you're being tempted to do. But then even though you knew it was wrong, have you ever talked yourself into doing it anyway? Right? You understand where I'm going with this? You're tempted to do wrong. You know it's wrong. You know you shouldn't do it, but you talk yourself into doing it anyway. Classic example. Remember the story of King David? 2 Samuel chapter 11. Man after God's own heart. Man after God's own heart. The Bible says there came a day when he went out on his roof and saw this lady named Bathsheba bathing. He looked at her. And then he continued to look until his lust began to burn. He knew what he was thinking was wrong. He knew that what he was thinking was a sin against God. In fact, on top of that, one of his trusted advisors actually came. 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 3. One of his advisors actually came and tried to talk him out of it. Said, "Don't do this. That's another man's wife." But he ignored the counsel. He talked himself into it. And as a result, he committed adultery. He committed murder, you say. Committed murder. How could that happen? How could that happen to a man after God's own heart? The Bible does not tell us, but I think David's tongue was actually involved in all of that. I think his tongue was involved. I'm convinced David had a conversation with himself. And that conversation, like I said, we don't know. This is Ray Crocker speaking, okay? This is not biblical. Okay. But I think David, because I know the conversations I've had with myself, okay? I think David probably said to himself, "Self, you're the king. You're above the law. Self, you have the authority. Nobody would ever dare to question you. Self, with all of your resources, you can actually, even if you get caught, you can cover this thing up. Nobody will know." I think he said to himself, "Self, we can do this, and we can get away with it." And because of David's conversation with himself, David sinned. And the reason why he sinned, it's all summed up for us in one verse of Scripture. Look at it at Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 6. "Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin." It's a world of iniquity. Burns with a fire, defiles the whole part of us, defiles us. Notice number three, or letter C, the destruction of the tongue. Again, in verse number 6, James says, "And the tongue setteth on fire the course of nature." In other words, our tongue not only has the ability to influence us and cause us to do things that we should not do, but our tongue also has the power to influence other people. Our tongue has the power to influence others. You see, the words that we speak so quickly, many times without thinking, affects not only ourselves, but they affect those who are around us. And the great tragedy is that just like a fire that is out of control, those words have the power to hurt and to destroy every person that they touch. I'll show you a picture. You all recognize this guy. This is Adolf Hitler. Adolf Hitler, actually, even though he's been dead for some time, he's actually still making waves. He's still making waves. There are still being debates that are held about his religious beliefs, of all things, is one of the things that is talked about. Bottom line, when it comes to Adolf Hitler, he's like a lot of American politicians who have a good case of Christianity as you get close to election time. And then after they're elected, they lose their religion, okay? It departs far from them. Adolf Hitler did that very same thing. Presented himself as a son of the church, Roman Catholic Church, but he presented himself as the son of the church. And presented himself as one who would be faithful to the Lord and all of that. But after he got elected, after he came into power, quote, "Nothing will prevent me from tearing up Christianity, root and branch. All people who profess creeds are traitors to the people. Even those Christians who really want to serve the people, we have to suppress. I, myself, am a heathen to the core." That's very different from what he said before he got elected. This is what he said after he got elected, after he came into power. But here's the point. Those words did not just stop with himself. They spread to others. The influence of those words were felt by others. Because of those words that were spoken, his hatred led armies to gas and to murder millions of innocent people. In fact, I've read that for every word in his book, Mein Kampf, I've read that for every word in that book, that's including all the A's and the V's and the whatever, for every word in that book, 125 people were executed and died because of his influence. Now, your words may never start a war. And your words may never actually kill somebody. But I do want you to remember one very important truth in Proverbs 18, verse 21. The wise man said, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue." Death and life are in the power of the tongue. It may well be that the words that we speak have hurt and offended those who are around us. It may well be that the words that we speak so carelessly has caused someone else to become discouraged, to become brokenhearted, to give up in life. It may well be that our words have stained a name or ruined a reputation or even caused, heaven forbid, that some word carelessly spoken would cause someone to reject Jesus Christ and to be forever lost without hope and without God. The bottom line, once words are spoken, they cannot be recalled. Heard about a lady one time, and I realize men are as big a gossips as women ever dared to be. I understand that, but this just happened to be a lady, okay? I'm not picking on ladies. Ladies, don't get angry. I read about a lady one time came to a preacher and she said, "Pastor, I've just got this problem with gossip. You know, I like to gossip and like to, you know, I hear things and I can't just got to call people and spread it around. And but you know, sometimes I've noticed that just kind of has a bad consequence. And Pastor, I just need some counsel on that." And he said, "Okay, I'll try to help you. Go in the house there and bring me out one of your feather pillows." And so she did. She brought out a feather pillow, and he took that feather pillow and he ripped that thing open and began to shake it, and the wind just carried feathers everywhere. He said, "Now go get all those feathers." You get the point? See, once those words go out, you can't bring them back. Once they have gone out on their destructive journey, they cannot be recalled. Once those words go out, they're out there. They're out there. And if those words that we speak are not controlled by the Holy Spirit of God, then we need to understand that our words actually have the potential of creating a burning fire that is going to consume and burn up and destroy everything that they touch. Letter D. I want you to notice the spark of the tongue. The spark of it. The tongue, James says in James 3:6, notice the spark. It is set on fire of hell. It is set on fire of hell. The truth is simply this. A tongue that is not controlled by the Holy Spirit of God, if God is not controlling your tongue, Satan will be. Do you understand that? If God is not in control of what we say and the way we communicate, then Satan is going to be in control of it. And he will gladly use our tongues. He'll gladly use our tongues to lead ourselves and to lead others into sin. He'll gladly use our tongues to hurt and to discourage and to hinder the work of God. He will gladly use our tongues to sow discord among brethren. He'll gladly use our tongues to cause men to reject Christ and to die in sin. Folks, the thing James wants us to understand, and the thing I would like for us to understand this morning, is that when our tongue is out of control, and when our tongue is not being controlled by the Holy Spirit of God, it is a deadly fire. But there's something more here that James is going to share with us. Because you see, if the Holy Spirit is not controlling our tongue, not only is it the potential of becoming a deadly fire, but you also need to understand that the tongue is like poison. It's like poison. James chapter 3, verse 7 and verse 8. "For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea, is tamed." Now that's an interesting statement, and we can see evidences of that today. You go to the zoo and they have the elephant show, you know. And those elephants are tamed. If you go to the States and have the opportunity to visit SeaWorld, they even have orcas. They have killer whales there that have been tamed, and they do tricks at the certain command and all. And so every kind of thing has been tamed. That's what James is saying here. All of these things, they've been tamed by mankind. But notice verse number 8. "But the tongue." The tongue can no man tame. Notice no man. Holy Spirit of God can tame it, but no man can. No man can tame it. It is an unruly evil. Notice it now. It is full of deadly poison. I want you to notice there's a big difference here. Fire, poison. You immediately see the difference, right? If there's a big fire, everybody's going to see it. It's a public thing. It's a public display. Poison works secretly. You don't see it. Works undercover. Works behind the back. That's how poison works. That's how poison works. Many times people are having a conversation and someone says, well, you know, so-and-so said this. Or, well, so-and-so, he did this. Or, you know, so-and-so, I heard that so-and-so, you know. Without ever checking the facts or ever trying to find out who so-and-so really is. Many times, that is spread. It's spread. And the person who's being talked about doesn't even know they're being talked about. The person being talked about doesn't even know that they're the subject of conversation and the words that are being spread about him, just like a poison. It's seeping around unseen and unnoticed, but it is having an effect in that it is destroying this person's life. It's destroying his reputation. It's destroying his effectiveness as a servant for the Lord. And it's all secretly like poison, unseen. Unseen. Heard about a preacher one time. I've never done this, but it's probably a good idea. Heard about a preacher one time, kept a notebook on his desk. And when someone would come to his office and they wanted to talk about another church member, the preacher would he would say, well, now wait a minute, before you get started here, here's what I want you to do. And he would open up the book and he would slide it across to them and he'd say, just write all of it down here, put the date and sign your name. His testimony was, he kept that notebook on his desk for 20 years. It had never been written in. Never been written in. Many times lives, friendships, families, even churches can be deeply hurt, be deeply affected. And we fail to remember that our tongue, if it is not controlled by the Holy Spirit of God, can be a poison, secretly working, but terribly destructive. Terribly destructive. Tongue out of control, it's like a burning fire, it's like a deadly poison. But let's go back just a minute. Notice again verse 7 and verse 8. For every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind, but the tongue can no man tame. I want you to understand this morning that the real enemy is not our tongue. That's not the real enemy. You remember we saw it last time. The tongue is merely an indicator. Remember that? The tongue is not the real enemy. The tongue is merely an indicator of what's in here. The tongue is merely producing what is in the heart. And that's why the Lord Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, verse 34 and verse 35, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, bringeth forth good things. In other words, his tongue is going to be used to build up and to give life. But an evil man, out of the evil treasure, bringeth forth evil things. You see, folks, here's what we need to realize. It really doesn't matter. Really doesn't matter how spiritual we claim to be. I mean, we can all put on a good show on Sunday morning. It really doesn't matter how spiritual we claim to be. Doesn't even really matter how godly our life may appear to be. Doesn't matter. Because if our tongue is spreading destructive fires, and if our tongue is spreading deadly poisons, it simply is revealing to all that our heart is not really right with God. See, all of that is revealed by how we use our tongue. Our heart is not really right with God. Remember we saw this way back in James chapter 1, several weeks ago. James chapter 1, verse 26. Look at it. If any man among you seem to be religious, he seems to be religious, but he bridleth not his tongue. He deceiveth his own heart. And this man's religion is vain. It's just a show. It's just a sham, because the heart is not really right with God. And that's why we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. That's why we need to allow the Holy Spirit of God to have absolute control in our heart and in our life. You see, the man who is truly spiritually mature is the man who will not allow Satan to use his tongue to do hurt and to bring destruction and harm and all of that. But rather, the truly spiritual man is the man who will yield his tongue to the Spirit of God so that it might be used to praise God. As we talked about earlier, it might be used to lift up, to build up, to encourage one another, so that it might be used to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ to the uttermost parts of the earth. That's how our tongue ought to be used. And the only way it will ever be effectively used like that is when we allow the Holy Spirit of God to have absolute control over this little thing right here that we call our tongue. Because when it gets out of control, it is a dangerous, dangerous thing indeed. Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning for Your Word.